You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
For many guide dog owners, having their four-legged companion with them is a key to independent mobility, confidence and more. But that mobility and that confidence can be knocked when they face refusals, sometimes illegally. Well, we're going to chat with Andrew Farrell from Guide Dog to learn a bit more about refusals, what people can do and about an app that guide dog owners can use to report these incidents. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Andrew, tell us a little bit about these refusals then. What are some of the more common ones that guide dog owners come across?
We always have to be clear, I think, that these figures aren't indicative of the full picture of access refusals for guide dog owners, because we only know what gets reported to us. And we also know that a lot of underreporting happens. We've had 323 access incidents reported to us this year. The most common area at the moment is in restaurants, cafes and pubs, 84 incidents reported to us. Taxis, 67 issues. We've had 20 incidents in hotels, 17 incidents with security guards and 14 issues on coaches and buses. In fact, we've had more issues reported today, so already those figures are out of date. But it does give a reflection of the issues that our guide dog owners are encountering on a day-to-day basis.
A day-to-day basis is a good way to describe that, Andrew, because the things you're mentioning there, you know, that's people out and about, they're shopping, they're travelling, they're socialising and so on. What seems to be the problem? What's causing these issues, do you think?
There are some common trends. Allergies are referred to fairly frequently. The Equality and Human Rights Commission's guidance is fairly clear on allergies. When the service provider refers to allergies, they should be talking about a known person, not a hypothetical customer who might be coming in the future. It should be someone who they know about. And even then, where there is a known allergy, advice is that reasonable steps should be taken to ensure the person can minimise contact with their dog. The Equality and Human Rights Commission guidance also explicitly states that banning all assistance dogs is likely to be considered unlawful. When it comes to allergies, the expectation would be, when it's managed properly, a guide dog owner or an assistance dog owner shouldn't know there's somebody with an allergy within the premises, because it should be managed away from the point of service. Another trend that's cropped up fairly recently is we've seen an increasing number, it seems, of dog-friendly premises. I think dog-friendly premises are a lovely idea and can be a really nice environment for our guide dog owners. But I think what's really important is that staff understand and that are able to distinguish that there is a difference between a pet dog and a guide dog. One's an auxiliary aid and should be able to sit anywhere within the premises, whereas a pet dog might be confined to the pet dog area within the premises. Health and safety is sometimes used inappropriately. There are often concerns cited around our guide dog owners navigating stairs. I don't know where that comes from. I mean, there can be legitimate health and safety concerns, but that's definitely not one of them. I suppose the thread that would run through all of those kind of themes and trends is that there's a lack of awareness amongst staff, which raises questions about the training that staff are receiving. I know guide dogs have called on service providers to make sure that staff are provided with effective disability equality training as a first step to try and counter this.
So there are plenty of legal regulations around this. And yeah, I think what you're saying about staff as well, you know, some places like maybe cafes, bars, you have a high turnover of staff, they're not really getting that training. So there should really be a greater emphasis on the employers to make sure their staff are up to speed on things like that. But are there ways that guide dog owners can, I don't want to use the word intervene or educate, but perhaps say, well, look, I know you're saying no, but here are the rules. Here's what my guide dog is here for. Here's what they do. Does guide dogs give advice to guide dog owners then on what to do in those particular situations?
Our guide dog owners have a massively diverse pool of lived experience and skills and understanding and knowledge. So for me, the role of the access team is to support our guide dog owners to be able to challenge service providers at that point in the way that works for them. That could be they want to send education information to the service provider. It might be that they want to just inform us about the incident so that we can relay that to our colleagues in campaigns. Or it could be that they want to pursue a more formal complaint and would like some support. We try to be person-centred to make sure that they've got the information that they need to be able to challenge service providers and educate service providers as well. We also deliver virtual access with confidence workshop over Microsoft Teams. We explore the protections provided by the equality legislation across the UK. We run through some scenarios and talk about different approaches, along with the highlighting the support that's available through the access team. One of the key outcomes, I think, of the sessions is providing guide dog owners with that opportunity to share personal experience. So we want like people to be able to talk and tell us about what they've encountered and what's worked for them and what hasn't worked for them. So if anyone would be interested in coming along to one of our workshops, they can express interest. They can get in touch with us via the guideline on 0800 7811 444, or by emailing information at guidedogs.org.uk. I think sometimes there can be a perception that there is a right way to deal with an access refusal. And there is no standard right way to deal with an access refusal. These are horrible incidents. The most important thing in countering and dealing with any access refusal is that the guide dog owner prioritises the well-being of themselves and their dog in that situation. The right solution is the one that protects them. Some guide dog owners are quite happy to ask for a member of staff to go and get the manager so they can educate on the spot and try and set them right. Other guide dog owners, they might want to remove themselves from that situation and deal with it retrospectively.
We have heard more and more over the years in the media about legal action being taken against businesses, taxis and so on. Do you feel that that is the right way for many people, the right route for them to take?
I think that there is definite positives from legal action. More successful cases and publicity that goes around those cases help to reinforce the law and help highlight where service providers are coming up short and failing in their duties. However, I think as well, we have to recognise that outside of cases with private hire vehicles, taxis and minicabs, the responsibility largely sits on the service user, our guide dog owner, and it puts the emphasis all upon the victim to be able to take these issues forward. They have to absorb the complexity and also the potential costs that are involved, which go forward with taking legal action. Refusing a guide dog owner is most likely to be considered a failure to make a reasonable adjustment or an indirect discrimination. The courts have found this, it's in law, but the understanding of that is often absent, both with the service provider, but also sometimes what's emerging through some work that Guide Dogs has been doing is that even when guide dog owners are pursuing legal advice, there's still that absence of understanding almost at that level as well, which is really concerning. Guide Dogs have been consulting with experts in the field and working with a leading London law firm who've been carrying out a detailed analysis of over 20 countries where there's legislation around assistance dogs to identify what lessons can be learned from different countries and what can be applied back in the UK and if there's anything there that can improve that situation. We've got a parliamentary lobby coming up on the 25th of November, again, focusing on raising awareness of access refusals with MPs. If there's anyone who would like to get involved in that, they can register their interest via a link on the Guide Dogs Open Doors campaign webpage or through calling guideline, again, on that 0800 7811 444 number.
Now, one of the tools in the toolbox for guide dog owners is an app which Guide Dogs have created specifically around these access refusals. How does that work?
The app was initially developed back and launched in June 2022, and it's got lots of useful information in there about access rights. There's links to resources, both from Guide Dogs and the Equality and Human Rights Commission. And it also comes with a function to allow reporting of an access issue. People often ask us whether they should use the app in real time to report at the time of the incident. Some choose to, but it's not really necessary. The most important thing if you're logging into the app is that you're doing it in a way where you're safe and comfortable. Once you've opened up the app, there is a tab at the bottom of it where you can go into an access refusal option and fill in the form. There's an option in there both for being refused access or if you suspect you were treated differently. There are some guide dog owners who might not feel that being asked to sit in the bar area is being refused access. So we just want to be really clear that we capture that, that people understand that that is a provision of an inferior service if your seating's being restricted. There's also an option as well to upload any audio file that gets captured, or particularly with taxis, if you take a screenshot when you get the notification come through that the driver's on their way. Once you've populated the form, there's options to proceed with the action that works best for yourself. So the options include sending a pre-populated letter to the service provider via the app. You can request for the access team to send out education information on your behalf so that you can educate the service provider. Or you can request some advice from the access team to get in touch so that we can have a chat about what you feel might be the most appropriate form of action and build a little bit of an action plan together for you to take forward.
Just finally, if people would like more details then on access refusals or rights, or they want to know more about the app, what's the best way to get in touch?
The app can be downloaded both on Apple and Android devices, and there's some useful information and resources within the app which you can refer to. There's also information and resources on Guide Dogs Open Doors campaign website. Or finally, as we've mentioned, if you want our support directly from the access team, you can contact us via the guideline 0800 7811 444 or by email to information@guidedogs.org.uk.
And let's hope that owners do, if they require it, Andy, take advantage of the app and indeed get in touch with the CELT if they do have any access issues. And thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're very welcome.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.